SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevepick.com. And come back here the morning after pre-entries taken at Churchill Downs, the Breeders' Cup racing office, as they take over wherever they go, and the staff together at this hour already, having heard, you may just have heard in the last hour from the replay, Rick Amberly outlining exactly how it all comes down from here, and certain divisions will require no special effort, and others will have to be carefully considered before pre-entries announced tomorrow, call it 26 hours from now, and then officially you can look at groupings of races and the PPs. Some of you probably, like myself, have already been looking at the contender PPs, and we've been pushing for really almost 2 weeks to get familiar. We've had a lot of fam trips, basically, to get acquainted with the fields, and we'll have a lot more to do starting tomorrow at noon once those pre-entries are announced. Then 11:30 is the gathering and the dissemination of those pre-entries, and we'll just let you listen in as they go through the fields tomorrow. That usually goes pretty quickly. I don't think that's more than a 15 or 20 minute affair. So we'll get some early indications. Meanwhile, still doing some recapping from the weekend. Got to go through a lot of results, actually, particularly the state breds, and timing actually on that rather appropriate. Yesterday, feather in some more headlines and news, and of course the October sale got started at Fasig Tipton yesterday. We'll touch on those results. Day one of a 4-day run. But the Jockey Club released the report of Mare's Bred yesterday. And so mentioning the state bred program comes into play. And numbers again down 5%, 30,274 mares covered thus far. There'll be some trickle in reporting, as there is each year. But essentially, a 5% drop. And the number, I'm slightly surprised that there wasn't more of a stabilization. And with the way the marketplace has been, we have suggested in conversations with Sid and with, you know, various people on the breeding front, you know, the opportunity for people to put mares into service and, you know, take advantage of a competitive marketplace, you know, especially from the middle top side of things. But last year, 31,863. This year, so far, 30,274. The number that will surprise you, I think, a little, the number of stallions, and that kind of flies in the face of conventional thinking, or at least anecdotal thinking, I imagine, because everybody's very much noting the horses that retire and go to stud. But in fact, that number also has had a very steady drop, and 9.5%. There's 1,342 active stallions from 2017, and it dropped 128 down to 1,214. The year before, the drop was 5.7. So stallions coming out of service. So even though their perception is, I think, to some degree, that there's all these horses retiring prematurely, not the case, really, or at least cumulatively, there's less stallions. The most stunning number that came out of the report yesterday, and it goes hand in hand with the day one results at the October sale, Into Mischief, second year in a row, led individual covers, 245 mares covered. That's a big number, obviously, and last year 235 for Into Mischief to lead. What's amazing, and this is, there's always little tidbits in these reports that are fascinating. There were four other stallions that had 200 or more mares bred. And without knowing, without seeing it in print, I don't think anybody immediately, I suppose if you're, right in the business, you would know it, if you're close up to this side of the breeding business. Cupid, Klimt, Practical Joke, and Violence were the other four stallions, the only other stallions to cover over 200 mares. And of course, you look at who their sires were: Cupid by Tappet, Klimt by Quality Road, Practical Joke by Into Mischief himself, and Violence by Medaglia d'Oro. So, young, first and second crop type stallions with that group of four. Quite interesting. It's always intriguing. Sid can't be with us tomorrow. He's down in Florida visiting his son. And so we'll get some interpretation and some response. There's a few other elements in here that are quite positive when it comes to the regional programs, most notably Maryland and Pennsylvania. And we talk extensively about the Mid-Atlantic and a lot with Pennsylvania. And the Pennsylvania program really reinforced by a strong stakes program, by a 40% breeder award program, which is the highest of its kind, more than 400 Pennsylvania restricted races, and Pennsylvania up 8.3%, Maryland up basically 13% as their rally continues, and things are quite good in Maryland. And what's notable, and it's funny because we had this discussion with Sid last Wednesday, it's something that I'd be very interested to hear from David, actually from Jeff Canizzo, and that being that New York was down and down considerably, 15%, 15.9%, and this 12.1 the year before declined. And this feeds into that conversation we had last week with Sid, where we brought up the difficulty of the challenge for New York stallion operations to lure mares. That number doesn't mean that the New York breds are down. It just means that, total, the ones that hit the ground in New York, that's the mayor's bread in New York, and that, you know, feeds into the point last week that New York breeders are sending a lot of mares to top stallions in Kentucky and then foaling in New York, and you know, then you know, the taking advantage of the marketplace and in that regard. But it's part of that challenge that we brought up last week on just that topic, the challenge that the stallion farms in New York have had, you know, given the commercial side of things. So lots of information to debate and discuss, but looking at the results from day one yesterday at the fall sale, and right away, into mischief. he absolutely dominated headlines yesterday, and a Stone Street bred colt led the action. 400,000 purchased by Paul Brodsky and consigned by Summerfield. And boy, you want to talk about having a great year as a consigner. The Van Langendonks, every time you pick up sales results, Summerfield is, they've had a remarkable year. This was a colt that had been scratched out of the Keeneland sale. They wanted the Stone Street, felt it best to let him grow a little bit more, and it looks like that decision paid off quite handsomely. Whispering Oaks bought the second top price, $300,000 for an elusive quality colt, bred by Godolphin and Aseel Stables. And the top filly, $300,000, Brary Jones and Airdrie, a Cairo Prince filly out of Church by the Sea, bought by Stoneway. That was the top filly. So three more days at Newton Paddocks, and keep an eye on that as we basically tap our feet until we get the free entries for Breeders' Cup. A couple of other notes on the breeding front. I don't know if you saw this. Poseidon's Warrior absolutely has to be buoyed by the success of Firenze Fire. Is going to go to Darby Dan. The nice Spitestown son that, in fact, Butchie Reed came up yesterday, right? Butchie's talked about that impressive two-year-old that Butchie's got. But Poseidon's Warrior is going to get a chance in Kentucky. And, of course, Pleasant Acres, who had been standing him, they are going to bring Butchero into the fold. That was the news as well the other day. So that cleans up these portions of the news. Got that out of the way nicely. And we'll give you an idea about today. More tributes to Rick Violette. And a lot of nice things being said, of course, and written. Charlie Hayward with a wonderful piece, and I told you yesterday I had reached out to Charlie. He'll join us in hour two. Mike Welch as well from Kentucky. Mike clocking at Churchill. Andy Serling, top of hour two today. John White, of course. Jeremy Plonk later, and more. Expecting to talk to Gordon Elliott. Got a major European retirement to talk about, and some of those other weekend results after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in the state where such activity is legal. When you're prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When they kick at your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law break in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement or waiting in death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to answer to, whoa, the guns of Brixton. The money feels good, your life you like it well, but surely your time will come as in heaven as in hell.
We're back at the races.
You know, yesterday I put up that column from Russ Harris, and people really enjoyed it. It was funny. I just had been kind of looking for some. I guess I actually was looking originally for pictures some pictures of Rick Violette from years past with some of his, you know, other horses that less current, and you know, I subscribed to newspapers.com, which is, if you do research of any kind, it's really unbelievable. It's a little not clunky, but it takes some getting used to the navigation. But you put in search terms and names and so forth and combinations, and you get articles, you know, going back a long time, and they've got a mammoth roster of, I mean, for those of you that ever, not, I don't suppose all of you listening all did research on microfilm, but it's essentially what it is, and the magic of the internet, you've got access to countless newspapers, and one of the things that popped up was this Russ Harris column from November of 81. And it was a notebook column. It wasn't one specific topic. And there were, you couldn't have had a more amazing cross section of topics and names and, in some cases, quirky, specific horses. Kind of crazy. In fact, it talks about, you know, that Aqueduct had just gotten started for the winter, and Equestris had just opened, $7 million Equestris, and that the handle, the per capita handle of people eating an Equestris was $400 each, and that typically 150 to 170 had been a more typical number, and there's a Denny Phipps quote. Denny said, that's a number I've never even heard of, 400 per person. And then there was a thing about Joe Hirsch. Some tidbit about Murray Guerin and Pete Moss, the wonderful Pete Moss, and what they were going to, what Murray was looking to do with him before the end of the year, and then the Rick Violette nugget that actually led me to this column, how David Whiteley was getting ready to head to Hialeah with his promising Lazy F runner by Damascus, Shifty Chic, promising right at the beginning of his career, and that the rest of the division was being left with Rick Violette. Very cool. A piece about Dick Francis, and then talking about Rich Migliori, whose apprenticeship was coming to an end, and that Russ said, with Rich Migliori, a surefire winner of the Eclipse Award as Outstanding Apprentice, Victor Molina should have a big winter ahead as the hot new bug. And also mentioned William Avalon, just 17, who was going to start riding in New York. Unbelievable. Tony Grail and Jimmy White, who had been a quarter horse rider. It's just crazy. It all. How about this? The Louisville Courier-Journal reports construction beginning next year on a new $5 million Kentucky Derby museum. The more I looked at this, I said, I got to put this up. People will love it. And then there's a funny tidbit about John Henry as well, and Sam Rubin, and it just unbelievable. Really fun. So I could look for more of these, but this one was just such a, just managed to capture so much, so many things, that a great cross-section of topics. Well, cross-section of action from the weekend that we didn't get a chance to do yesterday and discuss with you, and of course, the Maryland Million card that we talked to Jim Dunleavy about. And they had, and Hammer enjoyed crab cakes. Everybody loves crab cakes. And Bernie Houghton's four-year-old, the Great Notion, and she wins the distaff, the first of the six-figure stakes. Forest Boyce aboard, 2-5 crab cakes, a winner. And Morgan's Ford. Mrs. Wyeth. No, that's not Mrs. Wyeth. Chad's Ford is Mrs. Wyeth. Morgan's Ford? Going to have to figure out who Morgan's Ford is. My Sister Sledge won the ladies. This, the turf route, 125,000. Julian Pimentel for Trombetta. And the Banners, John and Cheryl Banner. This is a homebred by Etched out of a Mies Sun mare, Blushing Bride. How about that? Winner by a neck, over 70-1. My Vixen, Gary Capuano for owner Mary Slade. Lewis Field won the sprint. The four-year-old Great Notion, Gelding, bred by Linda Zhang and owned by Linda and trained by Jeff Runko, Julian Toledo aboard and kind of took control early and was an easy winner at 20 cents on the dollar. The nursery stake, the two-year-old, follow the dog, a little under 4-1. And the surprise here was the disappointment was even money Scrap Copper that really just did not run at all and was a never involved seventh in here. That was the Hammy Smith. Hammy won later on, but follow the dog, Waldorf Racing, Maria Montoya, and Pimentel aboard, and one geared down. There was, of course, those starter races, too, that fill out the card. A couple of them through the middle portion. Mary Epler, a winner of one, and Merriman as well. Then the stakes wound down. My Star Potential, second choice for Claudio Gonzalez, and a tri-tap filly bred by Carrie Fromer. Gotta love that. And Eurostable, wire to wire, at 5-2, basically. My Star Potential with Taurus, and then Toledo booted home Talk Show Man, upsetting Flash Phelps. And really, they kind of came down, the two of them, but Flash Phelps was 3-5. For Rodney Jenkins and Hillwood, but it was Michael Harrison's homebred by Great Notion, venerable 8-year-old gelding, Talk Show Man, that wins the turf. So another successful addition. A quick rundown, too. Give you Remington, too. I want to make sure to pay appropriate tribute to the Oklahoma breds. And everywhere you look, coast to coast, from Canada to Oklahoma City, Mike Maker. And Maker, Gianna's Dream. And this is, you know, this is a kind of an interesting 5-year-old that has faced open company successfully, Jordan Wyckoff. And it's funny, at the end of the summer, I think it might have been closing day, I saw Jordan, we were coming down the escalator at Saratoga. I said, I got to talk to you, get you on soon. He said, not after this summer. And we had mentioned this, that it was, the weather, I think, Maker, a victim, a little bit of the weather difficulties, but that has been alleviated through the fall, and the horses that, that didn't necessarily fire or were maybe a couple of works behind during the summer for the Maker team, well, they're running better September through October here, and this was the Distaff Turf, Gianna's Dream, Twirling Candy Mare, bred by Center Hill Farms and Randy Blair, takes the first of the Oklahoma Classics. Maker in with Corey Lannery aboard. Danelle Durham and the Hall family. And Danelle has got she handles their nice horses. And a Don't Get Mad Mare, 5-year-old, Get Paid. And went off as a very near second choice. Bernardina was the favorite. They were both 2-1, but Get Paid, wire to wire, and that came in the Philly and Mare starter allowance, second on the night, another starter allowance, Drowning in Diamonds, Lannery for Steve Asmussen, a horse that Steve owns, by Diamond out of a Sluicide Mare, Larry Dunbar bred. Then you had the OKC Turf Classic, Charlie Webb, 7-2. Richard Aramia for Ken Nolan and owner Billy Taylor. Dr. David Taylor bred the Artie Schiller gelding, your sprint winner. And this is a serious horse, actually, that that I had made a little asterisk. The five-year-old visualizer son, Welder, bred by Center Hills Farm, owned by Romax Farm, Teresa Lunick, trained, and this is a nice horse. 95 buyer in here. Shotgun Cowboy, good old Shotgun Cowboy at a very short price, of course. The Kodiak Cowboy gelding, six-year-old, he wins the Classic Cup, the Distaff Sprint, three cords, Euro Ears Philly, Kenny Smith. Sydney Freeman wins the Distaff. Ramon Vasquez aboard. This is a Tisway Philly, bred by the Zollners. Donnie K. Von Hemel. And the juvenile, Starling, 67-1 over the favorite, and was a clean winner, a clear winner over the favorite. Megan Hauser, It's Mine Racing, a Mr. Lucky Cat colt, two-year-old, and built a big lead and then held the favorite safe. Nice. And in the Lassie for the two-year-old fillies, She's Shiny, Save Big Money. Adios Realty Farms, they bred this filly, She's Shiny, 10-1 almost, 9-1. $20.20 under McNeil, wire to wire. Alan Williams trained. So there's your Oklahoma Classics. I was there a few years ago. It was a lot of fun. Really a good time. It's such a nice place. Remington Park. So there's two out of the three state bred days. We'll do some Belmont and the Keeneland action in a little bit. Take a break right here, bottom of the hour. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When you're prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind the movie scenes. Sadie Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive from the morning past the evening to the end of the life. Brian Proof, Asher on the 45. Well, it's Brian Proof, Asher on the 45. Brian Proof, Asher on the 45. Well, it's a Brian Proof, Asher on the 45.
We're back at the races. 25 minutes to the top of the hour. Andy Sterling will join us. You know, I mentioned we're trying to connect with Gordon Elliott in Ireland. But while we do that, I wanted to follow through on that retirement that I alluded to. If you had not seen it yesterday, and it seemed to take a while for it to catch notice in the North American racing community, but Luca Camani, as I mean, as important and as successful a horseman of international renown in our lifetime, is going to retire. And he has spent 43 years from Newmarket, and his early career came at under the tutelage of Sir Henry Cecil. And when he won his first race, it was in a group. It was in the Duke of York in 1976. For American audiences, and I sent a note with a couple of attachments that you might have if you follow on Twitter, and I wanted to pull up as we wait to find out if Camani is bringing. I've not seen. I can't find any notice on the international trades whether we're going to see Camani come with a final Breeders' Cup starter in God Given. But I wanted to, you know, look at his other Breeders' Cup starters, and he hasn't brought one since 2005, Starcraft, who tried the Classic, actually, you might remember, and was seventh. But his win, he only has gotten one Breeders' Cup win from, I think, 10 starters, 10 or 11. And the win that stands out, of course, in the not just in Breeders' Cup history, but for Camani himself, Barathea in 1994. And of course, Lure was trying for a repeat in the mile. We seem to, you know, it's funny that I hadn't thought about it until now, but the mile seems to host more repeat attempts than any other, right? You think about that. I'm gonna have to quantify that, but I think I'm not being unfair. And in fact, it was Barathea's second try himself in the mile. He had been fifth the year before behind Lure at Santa Anita. I was there for that. That was my first trip to Santa Anita. I refer to that often. And it was wonderful. That was a fabulous day. And Barathea came back. Barathea came back and won with authority, and I'm just looking through my notes, we're going to get the visit from Gordon Elliott a little bit later, so that's all right. That's fine. I'm looking forward to it. The field that he faced, because I'm curious, and I watched, I sent out the link, and the typically terrific call from Tom Durkin. There it is, Barathea. Beautiful. He was 4 at the time, and Lure, who never really fired, Lure was 90 cents on the dollar that day, and he never, he was sort of mid-pack early and just did not mount any kind of a rally. But the rest of that field, Alice Springs was in that field. Interesting. Distant View, Pat Ettery, Ski Paradise, Okashitake. East of the Moon was 8-1. He had big mutuals in here, too. Barathea actually was over 10-1. And Frankie Dettori, with authority, if you see the, watch that replay. And one thing in reading the Kumani notes, it was Frankie Dettori and Kumani have had a long relationship, obviously, and it actually goes back to Dettori's father. Frankie's dad was on that first winner for Kumani. Other big names, certainly Falbrov, going back, well, now it's over 10 years. It's almost 15 years. He was 3rd in the turf in 2003 when he came here. The last North American win that I can find, Zomarata won the E.P. Taylor in 98. And Kumani, this is only Equibase numbers, so it doesn't go all the way back to the start of Kumani's career, but it's close. Actually, you know what? Since 1976, so actually it pretty much does. And 60 starters in North America. Kumani's son and daughter, who of course have been around, for many years and have been followed, it seemed for a while that daughter Francesca would end up, training and maybe taking over, but she's become a very popular presenter, and of course, her own days and career as a fashion model as well. And her brother Matt trains in Australia and is not coming home, as it were. So Luca Kumani, and he's going to do bloodstock work and stay around the game. But just a if you haven't seen all the responses, an international training superstar. There's no other way to describe Luca Kumani. An incredible career. So that I was a little surprised that didn't meet with a bigger response here in in North America, as it were. We'll go back to some results. We'll save Gordon Elliott for later, probably about 10:30 after Andy joins us. Speaking of Andy, we'll probably might as well save the Naira results from Saturday and also from the Athena on Sunday. Keep those. The stake winners that we should talk about, and you know, one thing to talk about came from Sunday in the Dowager, and you had the disqualification that ended up elevating Vexatious. I guess I touched on that a tiny bit yesterday, just that it seemed could have gone either way. I'll just maintain that and leave it there. What we didn't talk about was the Valley View on Friday, and the incident with Daddy is a Legend, which luckily, knock on wood, came away, it seems, without any further issue. He, meaning Manny Franco with Daddy is a Legend, trying to rally inside in the Valley View in the stretch and bangs into the temporary rail, which pops up and basically falls away. And George Weaver saying that she came away with just a couple of scrapes, and it didn't seem like there's any, you know, lasting any damage. But it is a testimony to the fencing, to the temporary rail fencing and the breakaway, you know, the safety rail that Keeneland was using, and is apparently an Australian product. T.D. Thornton in TDN the other day noted it. It's called MossSafe Rail, and you see it, you know, a lot of times if you're at the track and you're certain times of the day, you'll see, you know, typically after training in the morning, you'll see these systems. It's pretty amazing to watch, actually. You know, the plastic pole goes into the ground and they've got, you know, the certain footage and they, you know, put the PVC style pipe into the housings, and it's flexible. And it just pops away if there's any, you know, any contact. And not only is it safe, I mean, the safety part of it is certainly the hallmark, but it also provides flexibility for the racetrack to move the rails around and to preserve the inside paths, as you see them do ahead of big days. You'll see it at Churchill before Friday and Saturday next week. So in the meantime, Colonia was rallying. I feel like me, you know, the eyes were like sort of drawn to what had happened with Daddy is a Legend, and the fact that she was, you know, the 3-1 second choice, plenty of people concentrating on her. The disappointment here, before we get to the winner, Poetic Charm, the Euro that was getting tons of attention and went off favored. The Charlie Appleby Godolphin Dabawi filly, Mike Smith aboard, and she really just kind of went around and didn't really take to things, and was it seemed like she wanted to run early, and Smith tried to tried to get her to settle, and did not go well. So she never offered much in here. And in the meantime, Colonia, Graham Motion, and Joe Bravo, 7-1, ended up paying 16.60, and you had the monster price. Barbara Minchel, Get Explicit, and Get Explicit at 70-1, made for some fun exotics. The run-of-the-mill $480 exacta for a buck, and the $1,980 try with 10-1 Cool Beans third. And Cool Beans is at the pace. Florent Giroux and Brad Cox. But Get Explicit, if you included her in here, you you had to be thrilled. And she was rallying as well. Barbara Minchel does a really good job. And this was a filly coming off of a yielding turf win at the beginning of the month at Woodbine. She'd been competitive in the Flaming Page behind Daring Duchess. I think the distance suited her plenty. The mile might have, might have tried the Colleen mile a little short. Keep an eye on Get Explicit. She's a Got Stormy. You're not getting 70-1 again, not anytime soon. So that was nice for Graham Motion too. I don't think I'm gonna have time today, but really should talk to Graham, who has really been slightly snake bit. We've talked about this a little snake bit when it comes to the graded stake season this year. A lot of seconds. He's keeping track. If we talk to Graham, I know he'll have the number. Some of the other spots at Keeneland that caught my eye. The Big Chief, Keith DeSormo, First Samurai, 2-year-old Synthesis, who scratched from was entered either Thursday or Friday, and ran back instead on Saturday, and wanted even money. But Dale Romans ended up second here with a West Point 2-year-old by the name of Ant Seek. And keep an eye on Ant Seek. This was a third start and had gone from trying turf, and this is horse that might be on the improve. Went off at 8-1, but Synthesis picked the right spot. And there was another, I saved another maiden. Where's another? There was another maiden race that I had there it is. The 50-1 shot, 52-1. Silent Surprise. Did you see this? Cairo Prince, a Barry Jones spread, Willie Van Meter. And it's funny because when we talked to Marty on Friday, Van Meter had another big price winner. What, on Wednesday? It was on Wednesday or Thursday? Yeah. So here was another one. And there was one of that. Where was the race that we had discussed, the maiden race? And I will find it. There was a couple of fancy pedigrees. Should mention Shamrock Rose's win, Marcassi for Conrad Farms. Shamrock Rose, Tyler Gaffleone. This was a nice price, $39.40. That was the win that Scully delivered to you. And finally, I don't know where I just have too many. It's just a few too many races. I can't find that maiden that I had. There it is. Literally the last page. Well, because it was the 10th race on Friday. I had them stacked Sunday, Saturday, Friday. Federal Case, a first-time starter, a gemologist, Rudy Brissett, for the Windstar China Horse Club SF ownership troika. And this over the horse that we talked about, the Benson second-time starter for Al Stahl. This is the Distorted Humor colt that we mentioned out of 50 Shades of Hay. And this was the race that Synthesis had scratched out of. And Marty's brother had the second-timer as well in here for Samantha Siegel, Royal Medallion, who ended up fourth, ran well at a big price. But Federal Case, locally owned, got upset in here, went off even money. So this could be, keep an eye, this could be a productive race. This was the 10th on Friday, if you missed it. So that was your Keeneland weekend. And I do want to talk at some point to John Ortiz, too, who got his first graded stake win as a trainer. Happy for him, and love to get him on. We haven't talked to him since fairly early when he started his training career. There we go. All right. Top of the hour approaches, and when we come back, Andy Serling will join us. Andy and Gordon Elliott, Charlie Haywood, John White, Mike Welsh, Jeremy Blunt. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.